You're listening to Gamesform's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Dive into the world of mobile gaming with us as we explore the latest trends and discuss best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Mobilize and Monetize, Gamesform's podcast, where we talk to some of the leading figures in the mobile gaming industry. Now, today I'm super excited because we're talking about a topic that is focused more on the creative sides of things. So please join me in welcoming none other than Kira Cesolina, who is, of course, creative director at AAA Agency. Kira, so good to have you on the podcast.
Well, hi, Marian. Thanks for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
Absolutely.
I'm just looking forward to discuss all the creative stuff. It's a broad topic, but I'll try to be as precise as I could. So feel free to stop me at any point.
I'm sure that you'll absolutely smash it, Kira. So kicking things off, I kind of wanted to know a little bit more. How does, you're creative director, so how does AA Agency adapt marketing strategies to suit the specific sort of characteristics and player expectations of different gaming genres? I mean, there's so many, there's RPGs, adventure games, competitive esports. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a lot of them. So the keys are not to adapt is the keys to craft. Well, we try to be as careful as we can. So we interview our clients to fill out a strategical brief, to get to know all the details before even start to work on a client strategy, so we can hit the target audience right into the core. Well, we need the initial information is at least game genre, geographics, competitors, marketing goals. Well, as much information as you can give us or as client can give us is better.
Right.
Well, but it depends on the client. Sometimes you don't have that much time just to investigate the market, so we can do it instead. Well, good if a client knows target audience, but we can tailor it using the data above. Since we get it, we can start an analytical research. We research audience behavior, pains and needs, competitor strategies, marketing conditions. So we can, feel all the areas we don't know, which were in the dark before. So on the basis of all this information, we can find a specific date, time, message, and the specific pain and need what will suit audience the best, so we can hit this target. So if you're looking for a particular example, we've been working with mobile RPG game. I can't say the name because we are strictly under the NDA, but it's very famous.
Yeah. I really want to know, but...
So it's really hard to invent a bicycle here. There is a lot of them in the market, and even this particular game, they've been on the market like 6 years or maybe more. So they tried and tested everything. So we needed to figure out what we can do. So we found out what the client brief for influence was very strict. So every integration looked very, same. Mm. So the audience had enough. So they got used to the integrations. They scrolled the integration. So we changed the brief, they changed the strategy. We give the new audience the hook. They can catch the audience. And the old audience, we just changed the focus more to the creative side of the game, because it's good to monetize, but sometimes you need a creative approach to get audience interested.
Interesting stuff. So let's talk a little bit about the psychology of things, the interesting part. So what are some of the most important psychological factors that drive gamer engagement and loyalty from what you guys have seen? I mean, you guys work with probably so many games. So how do you incorporate these insights into your campaign?
Well, first of all, games should be interesting.
Yeah,
I think.
that's a good start.
Gaming audience is very competitive, you know, and very curious, but at the same time, this audience is very fast to get bored. So it's very challenging to build engagement and to catch the attention. So you need to carefully guide them just to guide them to install or maybe register in your game and then constantly warm them up. Speaking about psychological factors in particular, people usually have two sources of pleasure. It's intrinsic and extrinsic sources. Like, for example, an extrinsic source is when you have a like you won the tournament and you have a first place and everybody knows that you're a champion. So you have appreciation of people. Everybody sees it. And intrinsic pleasure is when the game itself or maybe the mechanic you give through the influencer is so challenging and interesting, you motivate yourself to go back every time. So when we craft and build influencer strategy, we use both of these motivators so we can balance like challenging part and the curiosity of like coming back into the game.
Interesting stuff. I love that you got into the real deep psychological parts of it. I love it. So obviously we can't have this conversation, Kira, without touching on data.
Gosh.
How does AI agency utilize data analytics to inform and shape creative marketing decisions? And how do they do this in a way that appeals to diverse gaming audiences?
Well, thank you for this question because I'm very nerdy about this.
Love it.
And the metrics are the basis of a good campaign, to be honest. Like
Absolutely.
before starting the campaign, we estimate the cost per mile and cost per view for each influencer on the basis of his or her views and subscribers before. But after we held the campaign, after campaign finished, we carefully investigate the results. So, because influence is such a, tricky and sensitive instrument, a lot of factors impacts views and audience reaction. It could be topic of the video, social media agenda, sound, picture, tone of voice, even what influencer viewers today. So we compare the estimated numbers and KPIs and what have we got, and we get a summary and learning. Like we try to analyze what impacted. If it was good integration, we see what kind of mechanic or creative we got. And if it was bad, we try to analyze what impacted. Maybe it was a boring topic of a video. Maybe it something happened. Even the platform have its own, issues. We even compare authors and media plan one by one altogether because even if they have a similar audience, similar topics, the result can differ from one another. So we try to learn from each campaign and use the best practice in the next one.
Right, a bit of A/B testing of sorts. I love it. So,
Yeah.
what actually makes a gaming influencer partnership successful? What are like the key things that you found lead to the success of this, and how do you ensure that collaboration sort of maintain authenticity? Because I think audiences and communities are smart, right? Like they can
Oh,
sense
yeah.
things are off. So what are your thoughts on that? How do you make it seem real and authentic, but also make it successful?
Well, we have a two sides, of the coin. First of all, it's critical to know the influencer's content style. You cannot integrate in like nowhere. Because audience is very sensitive. They don't like to see brands speaking behind the mask of influencers. They see it right away and acts very dramatically. They unsubscribe, unfollow, put the bad comments under the video or integration. Yeah. So if you're speaking about standard integration, we insist or try to explain why it's very important to give influencer as much creative freedom as we can following the brief. So we just leave the initial parts of a brief, such as a call to action, initial message, and the values of a brand, but we try to, stick to the main topics and main content style of influencers because it's a dramatic factor. If we're speaking about special creative campaigns, we analyze all of the content influencer had before the integration and all of the audience sentiment they gave to the game title. So we need to use specific vocabulary they use inside the game because the community is very sensitive and they can, to be honest, feel if you don't belong. Yeah. So we try to mix, the in-game mechanics and creative and marketing tasks and influencer engagement opportunities just to build a perfect, formula of integration.
Right. And, we've talked a little bit about the opportunities, but what are some of the challenges you face when working with gaming influencers, especially with, you've mentioned the word sensitive, but imagine it's quite a difficult conversation to have with someone when maybe they overestimate how much impact they have on their influencers, or how do you manage their expectations in a way that sort of works for everyone?
That's a nice question. It's a bit painful for the agencies.
I can imagine.
It's a right question to ask. Well, as I previously said, gaming community is very sensitive and very critical, speaking about the content you give them. So they can spot those who don't belong. And even if you manage to sign an influencer they like, you must be very into the game to write a creative brief, So the main challenge, if we go back to the topic, you must know the game. You can't avoid it. So also you must know the type of a content influencer posts, because it could be let's plays, streams, reviews, gaming rumors, and a lot of other stuff, because usually they focus on a specific format or a topic. So you should know how to spot the community gamer and gaming enthusiasts. For example, he or she, they could post exactly the same game every couple of times on a week, because they are a community gamer who works with a game title, or they could be just gaming enthusiast who loves the title and just keeps playing. So you must know if a gamer only prefer, to work with one or two titles. For example, gamers who post Minecraft or Roblox, it's their niche. And on the other side, gamers who build their career around wide open discussion of every game titles, they watch Gamescom and review every game possible. So you need to be very inside the market in this point. So they can they even won't reply to you if you're not into the topic.
I can imagine. So what about, you're obviously working with games that are larger, like you mentioned before, and are more well-established, but what about that sort of versus independent game releases? And these are two very different, types of games and different audiences. And what strategies work best for each from what you guys have seen?
Oh, that's a nice question. I love it. Because if you're working with a major gaming type title, such as AAA games, they definitely, 90% out of 100, they have a precise marketing strategy and big marketing department. And they have a strict influencer briefs and a specific point of view on the communication. So it's easier they tried and tested everything, and you should find the spot they didn't see. Or they just wanted you to like build the most efficient influencer strategy and just find the influencers which works best. It's either that or that. It's nothing in between. But if you work with, say, you know, some independent title or maybe B category title, it's most of the times is a very tired and, you know, product team which focused on building the best product they can. So you need to like become kind of, you know, outsourced team for them, just giving them all of the possible marketing insights you can. So you need to work like overtime just to, you know, build all the outsource like marketing influencer strategy they don't have a time for. But you still, in the both cases, you still need to be very inside the product just to speak in the same language with the client, I guess.
Interesting. And obviously there's a lot to learn from smaller studios because, you know, like you mentioned, it's very much from the ground up. Yeah. They don't have sort of established departments per se. So what have you learned from working with like the smaller indie studios that kind of has shaped your approach to marketing games across the board? What lessons have you learned?
The most honest answer to this question could be you should know how to work with different budgets efficiently. Mm-hmm. Because if you work with a major studio, they have a marketing budget. But if you have this indie developers, they don't have that much of a budget. I do believe they spent a lot of a budget to the game design itself. So yeah. You need to adapt and you need to find effective solutions to their problems. And if you can do that, you're the bad professional, I guess. So you need to work more with audience, try to build user-generated content, build adaptable influencer strategy just to use a different portraits, which can, you know, serve better for independent game studios. And here is like, it's a challenging thing to do, but still it's a great opportunity to start working with a title who like in a year or two could be the legends, new legends.
Right. So it's
very great honor to work with them.
And I guess it really tests you and you know, like you said, someone with a big budget, the possibilities are sort of endless. But, you know, with smaller budgets, you're really having to put that creative mind to work as what can we do for these, you know, for the studio to make little money go far, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
So last question for you here, Kira. And again, we can't really have these topics without talking about emerging technologies, AI, you know, it's everywhere across the board. So in what ways are emerging technologies like AI, perhaps even machine learning, transforming the landscape of gaming marketing from what you've seen? And how do you see these trends evolving in the coming years? Do you think they're a mainstay? Do you think that, you know, where it will fall off the, you know, trend bandwagon? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it definitely influenced the gaming marketing from every side, 360, speaking about game development, they definitely use AI just to, you know, reduce the amount of working labor and to just speed up the processes. And speaking about the influencer marketing and marketing for the games, we definitely see the developing trend of using AI learning on the platforms just to see the best algorithms which can work for influencers, just to see the best mechanics to promote the content. We definitely see the emerging trend for using AI influencers, but it needs to be adapted because, you know, influencers is a living people.
Yeah.
And the other side of a screen still follows somebody who can share their pains and needs, but still... Right. It's a great opportunity to, you know, develop something. Speaking about production, we use AI in production because if you don't have that much of a budget and working with like middle-sized gaming title. You can create animated series or very impactful and beautiful campaign just using AI production team, and you don't have to, you know, hire all the actors and, you know, filming team. So yeah, you can save some budget for the client, but still get amazing results. So we will definitely, you need to carefully mix like living people and AI technologies just to perfectly work together.
Right. I think it's a case of not replacing, and this is what a conversation that a lot of us have had, not replacing, but aiding in the sort of process.
Of course.
Well, fantastic stuff, Kira. Thank you so much for your time, for what's been a really, really fantastic discussion. And yeah, thanks for coming on Mobilize and Monetize.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and hopefully see you again, guys.
And that was it for this week's episode. Until next time, guys. Bye.